If you work in quality control at a candy factory, you know strict safety regulations come with the job. It's why you partner with Grainger. Grainger helps you find the high-quality and compliant products your business needs to inspect, detect, and help correct issues. And the sweetest part is, everyone gets a product that's as safe to eat as it is delicious. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Watching any sport is a hell of a lot more exciting when you got a little something-something riding on the game. But what happens when the season is over? At my bookie, there is no off-season. NFL, NBA, Major League Baseball, NHL, boxing, heck, table tennis, MMA, and more. If they got it, you can bet it. If the games are being played, the line is on the board at my bookie. Just remember, where you bet, though, is every bit as important, if not more so than what you're betting on. That's why I tell all my friends to go to mybookie.ag. Oh, but my state just approved it. There's a big whatever, or these guys are in the market. Nah, Johnny come latelys. You want to trust them? Trust the bookie I've been working with for years, MyBookie. MyBookie has been ahead of the game for years now. And why does it matter? Oh, I don't know. Maybe a million reasons. Better lines, better payouts, less rules, you name it. Plus, you get a bonus with me at mybookie.ag. Use promo code Charlie, Zulu, Alpha, Bravo, Echo. That's promo code Zabe. And get your deposit matched halfway up to $1,000. That's a free cash bonus for making your deposit. Use promo code Zabe to claim the offer. You bet, you win, and most importantly, you get paid with mybookie.ag.
The long journey is over. McElroy has his masterpiece.
He's been holding that reaction in since 2014.
This is the Zabe Cast. From the mean streets of McLean, Virginia, to the Harvard of the West, UC Santa Barbara. You got 30 minutes for some honest conversation about sports, life, and more? Well, good. Buckle up and let's go.
Here we go.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, it gives me great pleasure to introduce to you the 2025 Masters Champion, Rory McIlroy.
It's an honor of a lifetime to be standing here. I've dreamt about this moment for so long, and I can't wait here. I can't wait to be here again next year in Scotty's position, hopefully putting the green jacket back on myself. Thank you so much.
In what has to be one of the dumbest calls since Ronis said, Rory has no chance at winning. I said yesterday, you know what, guys? We're not going to do a podcast Sunday night. We'll just wait until Wednesday. Who here, after seeing that today, could have possibly waited until Wednesday to talk about?
Got to get it out.
Oh, my God. It is great to have the Capital Golf Gang taking over the Zabe Cast today, because I was going to do a Zabe Cast that was going to be half golf, half a bunch of other stuff. The other stuff can wait till Tuesday, okay?
Yes, sir.
It'll wait till Tuesday. I have so much I want to talk about, but Rory's wild ride finally pays off by beating Justin Rose on the first hole of a sudden-death playoff. The only proper playoff there is any sport, sudden death.
Oh. It's amazing. We talked about it earlier in the week, and then it came to us.
Exactly. After throwing it away, by my count, at least three different times. Let's say hello to the guys. For those that you counted four, okay, we'll talk about that. Let me introduce the guys. John Rodas, director of golf, now at the newly resurrected Beacon Hill Golf Club in Leesburg, Virginia, who was playing in his band. Garage cover band just south of Seven, which was nicknamed for where they all lived, as in we lived just south of Route 7. You played today during the meat of what was one of the most thrill ride masters we've had in our lifetimes. How did you deal with it?
Zabe, it wasn't even that glamorous. It was an acoustic gig with another guy in my band. So it's just two of us winery. And so I had someone pinpointed out there in the audience who was giving me hand signals the whole time of, you know, up, three up,
hand signals,
two down.
How could you possibly hand signal all the mayhem was going on Sunday?
It was crazy because I got in my car. I believe Rory was on the 13th tee. Mm-hmm. And all by the time I got home, he was behind by one.
That's right.
John Gould, I know you enjoyed watching it live. We texted back and forth quite a few times. John Gould is the executive director of the Mid-Atlantic PGA. Those who listen to the Capital Golf Gang know him quite well, but I want to introduce you to the wider Zabecast audience. You watched all day from where? The comfort of your home?
Comfort of my home, and I was also able, I told you last night, for those not on the Zabecast, that it was my mom's birthday, and she's a big golf fan, plays golf a lot. So I went and got her both days and brought her over so she could watch with me, and we had the kind of birthday but family experience of watching it together. So it was awesome.
Yeah. Great. All right, so let's start digging in. First and foremost, can I pour myself a fresh Diet Coke here in my official plastic Masters Cup, souvenir cup, because I don't know when I'm going to be back. There's major things brewing with the tickets. Tickets today on the secondary market, very limited, went for an astonishing price, upwards of $20,000 for a single
and
badge.
It was probably worth it.
Well, guys, did you?
Yeah.
Did you guys seem? Did it seem to you that there were more fans there than I've ever seen before on TV? Was it a wider shot?
I think nobody left. I think that's what it was.
That could be it as well.
Maybe it's normal. Maybe it's normal.
Yeah. I mean, look, they sell roughly 35,000 badges, or they have 30, they don't sell them, but there's about 35,000 is what goes. And a normal major championship will sell up to 50 or 60, right?
Okay. That's correct. And usually, I've been there several times, the Augusta locals will go in the morning and then leave to get home to watch it and not deal with the crowds. And I don't think they did that.
Yeah, no way.
They do that on Thursday and Friday, late in the day, because you can see when some of the players are coming up to 18, you can get ridiculously close to them. And I'm thinking, this is not like most other majors. But they run the tournament, and they run it beautifully, even though it does have some old traditions that need to finally be sunsetted. We'll talk more about that later. Rory gets it done with the emotional collapse on the 18th green after throwing it away. I counted three times. You say it was four. Let's go through them, shall we?
Sure.
First of all, two-shot lead, gone after one hole. Double bogey's one. Sloppy, nervous double bogey. He was trailing after number two because Bryson made birdie.
Yep. But so he's lost the lead once right now. Yep.
Right. But he then did a double reversal Mongolian, a two-shot swing on the next two holes with a pair of birdies and then DeChambeau making bogeys. So all of a sudden he's up three, which is crazy. Had a four-shot lead.
And at that time, Zabe, let's just say Rose was on the sixth hole. Mm-hmm. He had a seven-shot lead over Rose.
Correct.
Right, over Rose. Seven-shot lead for sure.
Yeah.
So he has a four-shot lead at the turn after draining a birdie on number nine. And that is then gone by the 14th green after he makes bogey. And it all started with what I called a bird strike on 13. And let me explain. So a lot of the guys on my group chats and on Twitter were saying once he got through 11 and everyone was falling back, they said, that's it, game over. And I said, I want to see him on the Azalea side of Golden Bell first. And once I see that, then I will say, we are clear. Squadron leader, we are green, 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 return to base. And I tweeted as such, because that's really the last bit of big number peril on that golf course. Just ask Jordan Spieth. Just ask any number of guys who died in Rays Creek. Never thought in a million years that on number 13, after a 3-wood down the middle and a layup 7-iron and a perfect 86-yard garden variety wedge with a backstop left on that green where he was coming at a wonderful angle to the pin, that he would dump
it
in the water.
He did everything right before the third shot.
Exactly.
I mean, he whiffed.
It was as shocking as any bad shot I think we've seen as golf fans in a major in the final nine holes, especially with a lead. Again, it was like, okay, we're flying great. Bird strike, bird strike. Oh, my God, engine two is on fire all of a sudden. We need to request emergency landing. And it got really hairy from there on.
Sure.
So that was the second time he threw it away. Yep. The third time he threw it away was on 18 in regulation when he's got 124 with a gap wedge, middle of the fairway, and inexplicably dumps it into the right bunker. Now, our friend and former Capital Golf Gang co-host, Ron Thomas, who sends his regards, hi, Ronnie, how are you, said it was because he failed to properly account for the slight below his feet lie on 18 the first time. And I said, really, though? It's such an easy shot.
It's a gap wedge. It's
and you got a backdrop. You got a backstop 10 backstop. Yards behind the flag.
The green is
and
super
all you have to do
wide.
Is make par. You don't have to make birdie. Right. You just have to make par.
I think the wedge on 18 was worse than the wedge on 13 because the wedge on 18 had no water that you had to worry about. And you could take a full swing, although he said it was a 3/4 gap wedge because he hit it basically the same spot in the playoff, but was on a flatter lie.
2 yards further. Yep.
Right. But either way, it was as shocking as you can imagine. And that then lit off pretty much the craziest final hour of the Masters in a long time. Take it away from here.
Oh, geez.
Go ahead. Well, the TV people have to be super happy, right? It with the 4-stroke lead after birdieing 10, actually, it might have been 5. I'm not sure when Rose made his birdie, you know, but he had 5-stroke lead over Bryson after 10.
Do you know how many birdies Rose made today?
10.
He made 10 birdies today.
Shot 66. 10.
Super impressive. And he's got to be regretting yesterday, Saturday. You know, if he putts a little bit better. He putted his butt off on Thursday, Friday, and Sunday. And Saturday, he couldn't throw it in the ocean, and that's what cost him. But getting back to the coverage, you know, CBS was probably, oh, man, this is going to be kind of boring. I thought it was a little too early when they went to the career Grand Slam montage in 10 fairway. That was a little early in my eyes. But, you know, tightening it up, I bet you the ratings are going to be through the roof.
I hope they're good. I think they'll be good. I think everyone underestimates the pull of the big cat. And without Tiger, you're never going to get close to Tiger ratings, even when Tiger's not at his best. But we'll see what they are. They should be great. I don't really care what the ratings are. It's good for golf. Ronas, take it away. Yeah.
I mean, the commentary from my wife was the novice golfer was poor guy. He must have some mental problems. I cannot watch this. So she went, because she told me this when she came back. She loves Rory too. She went out to feed the chickens with her rosary beads, and she said she prayed for him the whole time. And
your
when she came in,
must have worked.
She came in, and I said,
didn't
he won.
Fancy her that much of a religious type. But
oh,
God bless her.
Her mom's like a nun. So she came in and said that, and that is what he brought in this victory to a lot of people, like we discussed yesterday. And his reaction, he basically was having a nervous breakdown walking up, ditched his family, by the way, just walking up alone. He was inconsolable tears-wise in a positive way. But
he was doing deep breathing exercises, man, to try to hold it together.
I thought he was
going to
pass out. Yeah. That's what we hope for, and that's the weight that he was holding, whether we put it on him or not, but that's the weight that he was holding on himself for the last 10 years
over a silly, silly game.
Yeah. So I'm so happy for him and his family, but I'm more happy for the game of golf. I am so happy for the game of golf.
Oh, this was great advertisement for the game. I mean, it really is the greatest game ever played, as the saying goes. You know, the movie starring Shia LaBeouf before he went completely crazy and ruined his Hollywood career, I thought was beautifully done as a golf movie, and it's hard to do that, based, of course, on a book. And there was a scene in the very end of the movie in the locker room after Francis Ouimet had defeated Harry Vardon and Ted Ray. And it was Vardon, the Silver Scot, who was just impeccably well put together and the best golfer in the world at the time in the early aughts of the 1900s. In the movie, and who knows if there's any historical reference or proof of this, but the movie scene got it perfect because Vardon comes upon Ouimet just sitting there soaking in, "I can't believe I did that." And Vardon said, "That was a good game today. I enjoyed it." And Ouimet says, "I did too." Vardon pauses, then smiles and said, "Yeah, I'm sure you did." Basically, like, "Yeah, you won." I'm sure you did. And then after another pause, he simply said, "We'll play again sometime." And that line always gives me chills. That's the game of golf. We'll play again sometime. That was a great game.
You can kind of use it for this. You know, the U.S. Open last year, when it came down, they didn't play together, but when it came down to Bryson and Rory, and they got to play again.
Yes.
Different results this time.
And you have to commend Justin Rose for his post-interview. I mean, that's a separator also from golf of anything else. I mean, he said, "I wanted to be the bad guy today," but when he whispered in Rory's ear that it was great that he was a part of golf history, you know, these guys know what the history of the game is. And that guy's a class act. I mean, I always hated him because he had that punch me face.
There's never been a nicer guy who was more well-regarded who's been betrayed by his face
than
Justin Rose.
Yeah, and he, on Full Swing, he comes across as such a good individual, hardworking. Yeah. So I definitely didn't want him to win, but, you know, he's a class act.
But if you think about it, too, you know, if it weren't for Justin Rose, Rory, despite all those pitfalls, still coast to the victory.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, that's the crazy thing. I mean, Reed had to hole one on 17 to get within two.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, he would have coasted.
Oberg was making a threat there, and then until he just fell apart on 17 and 18.
Yeah.
It was just amazing. I think one of the more underrated parts, and I'm sure people have talked about this and they will talk about this, but one of the more underrated parts of the entire final hour, well, of the playoff specifically, is that not only did Rory have to wait for Rose to get to the 18th tee, that couldn't have felt good because Rose was late arriving on a golf cart, but then he had to follow Rose, a shorter hitter, who just hit a perfect fillet cut 6 ounce style down the middle. Rory then said, "Okay, I got a 10 ounce fillet right past you, perfectly down the middle." And then he did it again on the approach where Rose put it to 15 feet or something like that?
Yeah, good shot.
And Rory said, "Okay, watch this. Hop, hop, spin, bank, 2 feet away. We're not going to miss this one. Please, God, we're not going to miss this one." He had to follow two great shots under the most pressure after having to wait. That's fortitude.
32 yards further than Rose, and that was really the difference in sucking that ball back Rose down the slope because the club would have had more spin on it versus Rory, who was able to hit a gap wedge in there.
Rose hit seven.
Okay. So that's a huge difference, obviously, in controlling a shot. So, I'm still not going to go to Brad Faxon to be my pressure putter coach because those two dead yanks that he hit on 18 and on 15.
When he missed the eagle.
When he missed that, those are terrible, terrible putts. And so there's still demons in there, and hopefully those demons, they don't even have to be worried about anymore because you just have the green jacket and that's all that matters.
What's just amazing is just the dichotomy of the whole day, right? Rory hit some unbelievable shots. You know, the out of the woods on 5, out of the woods on 7.
The one on 7 is the stuff of Stupidville.
Yeah, I mean,
even he was laughing after he hit it, and then CBS had a great shot of just the tiny gap in the trees he hit it up through. Unreal.
Yeah. I mean, just the luck on they bounce on 11 where it stopped at the fringe. Yes. Obviously, the 7-iron on 15 was massive. The playoff shot on 18. So he hit some incredible shots. And then you just combine that with those two putts that Rona's talked about. Obviously, the gack on 13. I mean, the ups and downs were just crazy. I mean, I was telling Ronas before we came on air, I want to see his whoop results, his whoop data. You know,
because he wears one of those biometric bracelets, right?
Yeah, and sometimes they share it.
I
would really want to know. I was telling Ronas, I would want to know. I don't wear one, but if I had one, what my pulse rate was and what my heart rate was for some of these, because I ran a marathon today.
My heart was pumping.
I bet there will be listeners after this episode airs and drops that say, oh, yeah, you were speaking of whoop. I wear one, and here's what my numbers were. Yeah. I know I was at the point where I was standing up, pacing back and forth. I'd slammed my laptop lid shut because I didn't want to see any text messages. Earlier in the round, get this, one of the guys on our thread was tipping pitches, tipping shots.
Yep.
And I'm like, how do you know? What do you have? Some special feed that's ahead of my streaming and your streaming and everyone else's streaming, which we're getting to the point where everyone's on a 40-second delay. And guess what he said? He goes, I'm watching the betting markets.
Oh,
and so
goodness.
He would know because he was following with every single shot the changes between Rory and Bryson. So I was
that would have pissed me off on a text string, though.
Well, at the end, I flipped my phone with your guys' text. I flipped my phone over at the end.
Right. So I was afraid that would happen. Slammed the laptop closed. I'm standing up. I'm pacing back and forth. And I was clapping my hands numb. That really, really hard clapping where you're like, okay, ow, ow, ow. But I was so pumped up in part because I couldn't stand to see anyone suffer. Right. Had they missed, you know, replace Rory with anybody, even the golfer I hate the most on tour, and I'm not sure who that is. I even wouldn't want to see them.
I got an idea of who mine is, but
I know you do. Yeah. But he was rendered irrelevant. We'll talk more about DeChambeau in just a second. So yeah, it was so amazing to see. The call by Nance was great. He let it play out. He let the pictures take the story. As long as it went, and what a beautiful moment. What that is the stuff of life and the stuff of sports. You may never have picked up a golf club in your life, but you can understand that scene Sunday night.
Well, you know what? You hope that you have something like that in your life at some point. That kind of ecstasy, I guess, a payoff for working so hard at something, whether it's just when you watch your child be born or something like that. But I mean, this is a 3-year-old, his whole entire life. And I sent you guys that little thing this morning that popped up on my phone of immortality.
Yeah.
And that's what Augusta is for a golfer. It's immortality. We say when we go there, it's like heaven on earth. And I guess when you win there, you are an immortal figure for eternity, obviously, and it's very, very cool. And must be really cool.
Even if your career is forgettable, Trevor Immelman, not that I'm talking about you, Mike Weir, the bottom line is you win, you're invited back to essentially golf's version of Willy Wonka's Chocolate Factory for life. Until you're dead,
and
you
get to
come back and have the complete run of Willy Wonka's Chocolate Factory with the dinner and the ceremonies and the green jackets. That's incredible.
And I think that's what meant, you know, we kept talking about the career Grand Slam. And once again, I was pissed that CBS went to it on 10, but I don't think that was what it was. It was the Masters. He kept talking about in the outdoor ceremony, I get to come back here all the time now.
Yeah.
Right. And it meant so much. And to your point, Zabe, I just couldn't imagine if he didn't win, whether it was Rose or somebody else, having to watch that person host the dinner next year, you know, and not be able to attend.
Nance said something, and I think it was about Rory, but I couldn't quite catch it. But he said that he was a little kid and he was at the range and he only had enough money for one token for range balls, and there were like 30 balls, and he wanted to hit more than that. And he said, no, we only have enough money for that. Hit every ball like it's the last shot you're going to hit in the Masters when he was a little kid.
Yeah, that was now, his father,
yeah.
Jerry, who apparently, you know, said to him, I don't have any more money till next Tuesday.
Yeah.
And I said, cool story, bro. I don't believe for a second
Rory's
dad ever actually ran out of range ball money, even when he was only 4 years old. That said, it wasn't a terrible story, but it was a nice metaphor.
Yeah, the Masters.
Golf is all about, and the Masters, and just
yeah.
treating every shot as the most important shot, and training yourself mentally to be as fearless as possible, to accept the outcomes right. while making, you know, a swing that is full of peril if you don't hit it just right.
Do you think this is going to free Rory up? I do. I think he's going to, this is going to propel him, and he's going to, with that load lifted off, he's going to win a lot more.
I think so. That's the popular feeling. I think he's hitting it so good, and he's stuffing it to so many pins. Quail Hollow. He's won at Quail Hollow 4 or 5 times. Number? Looks crazy. It sounds crazy, the stat, but yeah. So, I was going to say about Rory, will it free him up? I think he's hitting the ball so well now. I think he just fires Faxon and gets a proper putting coach.
Yeah, that's stupid. Be great.
And I want to talk about that for a second. First of all, I had him on my card. This is like a boxing judge who has a card that looks different than the other two judges. On my card, I had Rory at 24 under coming up the 18th fairway. That's what he should have been. That is my hacker math. Coulda, shoulda, woulda. He easily threw 13 shots away on simple, dumb things. And I could go through them all if you want. But, I mean, missing the putts on 15 and 16 and then on 18 in regulation, ridiculous. Yeah. And I know that the facts and philosophy, Ronis, this is where you're going to comment, is
stupid.
No practice swing. No practice swing. No practice
swing
waggle.
Freely. Yeah.
Just step up there, read the line, and give it a stroke. Mm-hmm. I think that's a fine method for Thursday through Saturday. I don't think it's good for a tricky 5-footer downhill at 15 at the Masters where you're trying to get the right feel before you hit it.
All it is a philosophy of you stink at putting. So let's try to get it over with as soon as possible so you don't have time to think and screw it up even more. That's all
what
it
you
is.
Think it is?
You stink.
Did they admit to, did Faxon and Rory admit to that? Or is
no,
that
but
just
why
your theory?
Why rehearse something that stinks because you stink at it? So don't rehearse that because it's going to be bad anyways. Just step up there, kind of picture it, happy thoughts, and then go ahead and hit it. And it's so dumb. It's so dumb. Rehearse what you're going to do.
He did get a little technical when they were doing the post-game show on the Golf Channel and Faxon came on and he said, you know, we try to, you know, let him, rotate the club a little bit and then come through and be square. And when he freezes up and when he's tense, he got a little bit more technical than that. His right arm's a little bit above his left, but it comes out kind of straight back. So it comes close.
He said that also he tends to get steep or high on his follow through on putts where there's a lot of pressure. And they showed the low angle of his putt at Pinehurst last year where he almost topped it. Yeah. And then the putt that he missed in regulation today, his putter head came up higher. It didn't stay low through impact. Now there's different philosophies on which way is better, but that's one thing he at least acknowledged. I don't know if he'll ever be a great clutch putter. To me, that feels like that's in your genes.
Except in the Ryder Cup.
Yeah. Not as clutch as Poulter.
Yeah, true.
You know, he may never be the clutchest of putters, but he is stuffing it so close so often, and he is bombing it so far that to me, yeah, of course he's going to win more. We could be on our way to an epic year for Rory.
Oh, we said this, though, 12 years ago, 14 years ago,
yeah,
whatever it was. Nicholas said he could win 25 majors. So look, I hope he does. He said a lot of majors. I say, I hope it does. I really do. I think he's great for the game, and he's earned, you know, everything that he's gotten. But, you know, at the same time, he is a great ball striker, but he isn't a great putter. So he's going to have to get hot to win, you know, majors or win tournaments with that putter, because it's not always in his back pocket.
Here we go with Ronis hating again, low key hating.
No.
It's not like he's not full of crow already. He's coming. He wants another serving of it.
That's right. But I think the larger lesson here, though, is
he'll be the favorite in every major the rest of the year.
Should be.
Well, there's Scheffler still out there, right? So I don't.
Scheffler finished what, 8 under? Scheffler.
Yes. Scheffler's no better a putter than Rory.
That is a fair statement. That's a fair statement. Scheffler finished 8 under, and I goddamn believe he sleptwalked through the entire weekend by his standards.
By his standards.
Yeah. But I just wanted to get back to the larger lesson, I think, is we talked yesterday, and we said it's a two-horse race. It's going to be close between those two guys, and we could not have been more wrong. You know, it's just the game, especially at Augusta, there's so many things that can happen, good and bad. Big run for Rose, you know, all the stuff that happened to DeChambeau and McIlroy up and down. We just got to stop. We're so caught up in saying it's over. Right, we probably said that on our text string a few times today. It's just the golf is. This is what makes golf so great. You can't say that because things happen, and so projecting it forward, when they've just said he's going to be great the rest of the year. We hope he is, but you know, we don't know what's going to happen.
I didn't say he'd be great the rest of the year. I said he'll be favored.
Okay,
I agree with you, and I could go back on our last 4 telecasts and come up with 10 things that were so enormously wrong. It's unbelievable what I said, including last night when I dismissed Rose from even the group that he was in, because I said, he's in, we got big hitters at the top. Rose isn't a big hitter. It's too hard to win that battle because you're not hitting it far enough. Like, I just put the cherry on top of my John Ronis Masters idiocy of 2025 with that comment. So hand it to him. You know, it's great. And I'm still happy that the game gets Rory McIlroy as a Masters champion in 2025. Yes. But you're absolutely right, John. Anything can happen in this game.
The drive to basketball championships, the grind of raising the cup in hockey. From the court to the ice, today's elite athletes know success depends on having the right team behind them. Same goes for protecting your family's financial future. SelectQuote's licensed agents are your all-star team for finding customized, affordable life insurance that scores big on coverage and savings. SelectQuote has nearly 40 years of experience helping 2 million customers find over $700 billion in coverage. Other brokers offer one-size-fits-all policies that might cost more and cover less. SelectQuote's agents work for you to tailor the right policy in just 15 minutes. Worried about health conditions? SelectQuote partners with carriers covering high blood pressure, diabetes, and even heart disease. No major health issues, get same-day coverage with no medical exam. Get the right life insurance for you for less at SelectQuote.com/Zabe. That's SelectQuote.com/Zabe today to get started. SelectQuote.com/Charlie Zulu Alpha Bravo Echo. SelectQuote, they shop. You save.
If your job at a healthcare facility includes disinfecting against viruses, you know prevention is the best medicine. And maintaining healthy spaces starts with a healthy cleaning routine. Grainger's world-class supply chain helps ensure you have the quality products you need when you need them. From disinfectants and cleaning supplies to personal protective equipment, so you can help deliver a clean bill of health. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Watching any sport is a hell of a lot more exciting when you got a little something-something riding on the game. But what happens when the season is over? At MyBookie, there is no off-season. NFL, NBA, Major League Baseball, NHL, boxing, heck, table tennis, MMA, and more. If they got it, you can bet it. If the games are being played, the line is on the board at MyBookie. Just remember, where you bet, though, is every bit as important, if not more so, than what you're betting on. That's why I tell all my friends to go to mybookie.ag. Oh, but my state just approved it. There's a big whatever, or these guys are in the market. Nah, Johnny come latelys. You want to trust them? Trust the bookie I've been working with for years, MyBookie. MyBookie has been ahead of the game for years now. And why does it matter? Oh, I don't know. Maybe a million reasons. Better lines, better payouts, less rules. You name it. Plus, you get a bonus with me at MyBookie.ag. Use promo code Charlie, Zulu, Alpha, Bravo, Echo. That's promo code ZABE. And get your deposit matched halfway up to $1,000. That's a free cash bonus for making your deposit. Use promo code ZABE to claim the offer. You bet, you win, and most importantly, you get paid with mybookie.ag.
Yeah. Rose today just turned it on in the back nine. As you mentioned earlier, Ghoul, he was down a touchdown, 14-7 at the 10th hole to McIlroy, and then proceeds to birdie 11, 12, which is a super hard birdie, 13, stumbles on 14, but then bounces back with a birdie on 15, stumbles again, or no, I'm sorry, birdies another hole, 16.
16, yeah.
So he birdies 15 and 16 as bounce backs, stumbles on 17, and then birdies 18 as a bounce back. That's fortitude. That is testicular fortitude.
10 birdies. 10 birdies.
10 birdies on 18 holes. Yeah.
Birdies.
Yeah.
On the final day of the Masters.
Yeah.
Right, and that pin on 16 stinks.
Okay, let's talk about the pin. So they
stinks.
They people hated it. It was in honor of when Nicklaus won in 75. And it's up on a little shelf that is so small and so slippery that if you've never been to Augusta, you have no idea. TV doesn't do it any justice. Mm-mm. And it's hard to get at. Now, the normal position is back left in what I call the clown's nose. The clown's nose is an easy pin at 16 on Sunday. As long as you just don't yak it left like Norman did in 96, you're going to be fine. And it's a real birdie opportunity for the leaders and for those in contention to think, I got kind of a back pocket birdie waiting for me at 16 if I can hit a decent 7-iron.
Yep.
They took that away this year, and I didn't hate it because I have been saying for years I wouldn't mind some alternate Sunday pins at the Masters. Why did you hate it, Ronis?
Well, I just think that, I mean, I didn't see many balls that actually ended up on the green that were puttable birdie putts. Most of them were back fringe.
Oberg had one.
May be.
Scotty had one.
And those were the best players. Like we
Rose had one, made one. Rory had one, should have made one.
I think Rory was on the fringe, wasn't he? Or was he, no, was he on the green?
I think he was on the surface.
Well, you know what? I guess I like the drama of the ball coasting off and in the hole in one. But I will agree with you. I don't like any hole that's like a kick-in birdie. And that one does seem to be a bit of a kick-in birdie when it's in the other position.
And they used, and I don't know if they always have, but they used one similar on Thursday, but it was more mid-green instead of back the green, but it's down there at the bottom where everything.
Saturday there was one down low on 16 left that was middle green. The Sunday pin is back left almost around the corner of the bunker.
Yeah.
In fact, it is around the corner of the bunker.
I didn't mind it. I thought, you know, like you said, it was, I mean, almost everything else was the same. 18 was the same. 17 was the same. 15 was the same. So, you know,
how about this?
It's nice to have a little bit of variety, even though, you know, one of the best things that we all know is big golf nuts and those who aren't maybe as big a golf nuts. The beauty of Augusta is that it's there every year. None of the other majors obviously do that. So you can get it. You can get a small sliver of a screenshot and you go, well, that's 12.
Yeah.
You know, you don't have to think. We've been watching it for so many years and we know where the hole locations are. Well, that's, it was a shock to not see
just the, where the hole locations are. We know where the trouble is. We know where we can say instantly, oh, that guy's, look out. He's in a bad spot.
Yeah, he could be on the left side of the fairway on 15. He doesn't, that's a terrible, you know, that, you think it's a good drive. It's not a good drive, you know, because.
The thing is, they basically backed up most of the leaders today, or at least they backed up McIlroy and DeChambeau, who shot over par today. There was some charging from behind, but they got to play a bit more free and loose. So with 11 under being the winning score, with the kind of advancements in equipment, training, TrackMan and the ball and everything else, that is pretty remarkable. We're not talking about, quote, tiger-proofing the course anymore. They've put this thing into a spot where they can get it to play like a very beautiful-looking U.S. Open, which it did today, because there was a lot of very slick peril in and around the greens.
And not Mickey Mouse. It wasn't like the greens were dying and they were rolling at, you know, 16.
They looked thirsty, though, to me.
I'm sure they looked thirsty by the end of the tournament, but, you know, they didn't have a ton of rain and they didn't have a ton of wind. So the golf course played really how it's designed. And it was really nice to see because, again, my idiocy, I said 16 under wins it. You know, I was only five shots off. So I think the golf course played wonderfully. And they said at the beginning of the tournament, they like 12 under to win the tournament. That's what the Masters committee
likes.
That's
what it should have been.
Yeah.
Make that putt on 18. That's what it was.
Yeah, right.
So I think I predicted this morning on a text chain, I said, Bryson will shoot 75 and he'll have one adventure hole that will probably require a ruling and he'll probably bitch about it. That did not happen, but he did shoot 75. Check.
Wow.
And I said Rory would shoot 69. And that was looking great when he was at 14 under, standing on the 11th tee. And then it went south after that. But incredible tournament yet again. Incredible scenes at the end of the tournament with the golden sunshine that is so perfect for this time of year in Augusta, Georgia. And the course looked immaculate. And you had a man who already is rich, is already super accomplished. Nobody's ever going to say he was not good at golf. He just had not won this tournament yet. And he finally got it off his back. And the relief and the human catharsis of it was incredible to see.
It couldn't have happened any other way. You know, it couldn't have been a four-stroke lead and coast to the finish.
It wouldn't have been authentic Rory, that's for sure.
Just the way Rory's career has been, it had to be hard. It had to be difficult. There had to be a little slip or a big slip. And then, you know, the resilience, he talked about that all week, that he's proud of his resilience, that after the U.S. Open, he came back and he won the two events this year. And he had to show it. He sure did today.
You know, as Spurrier once said, hindsight is 50-50. But I think when Rory looks back on this, even though it cost him years on his life going through this, I really think that he wouldn't have wanted it any other way. I don't think he'd want to walk up with a four-stroke lead. I think this is everything that he could have ever asked for.
I think he might not mind it. I know you say you'd agree. Like, I was actually viscerally angry. I was angry because I'm like, he just piped his drive on 18. After I tweeted, because he was waiting, I said, it's driver, Rory. It's driver. You should learn your lesson on 13. You hit 3-wood, and what does God hate more than anything? A coward in golf. Mm. Hit driver. So he hits driver. He pipes one down the middle. I'm like, great. 124. Oh, my God. Plop it on 2-putt. I thought he was going to plop it on somewhere to 10 feet, and he was going to get the hero's march up the hill with the rapturous applause. And that was ruined because everyone's like, oh, no, he's in the bunker.
And that's the thing.
And then I'm like, he's going to get his wonderful moment when he makes this 4-footer and he missed that. And I'm like, no.
He could have hit it 15 yards short and it would trickle down and roll down to the hole. He could have hit it 10 yards long and hit the bank and come back.
124.
So, I mean, he had from 100 to 135 yards. All I got to do is hit it straight. And he just, you know, but that's so like I said.
I would have preferred the hero's walk. I wanted that from my personal sports aesthetic. But everyone has their preferences. I'm super glad he won it anyway, even though it took an extra hole. And his reaction was absolutely priceless.
Yeah, I think the spontaneous jubilation and weight off his back was better than that walk up there. But that's my opinion.
It was not joy. It was relief.
It was definitely relief. But there was also joy. It was, you know, it was a partial mix.
Joy came later. Relief first.
I think it's right. Clear. It was clear to me early on that the patron split in terms of rooting was easily 90-10 Rory over DeChambeau. Because on DeChambeau, like, he hits number two in two, and it wasn't close, but it was like, just got home in two, you know, on a par five, and it was Yeah. Like polite golf clap. Rory makes birdie on three, and you hear that sharp roar. The roar with an edge on the front of it. And I'm like, oh, it is on. They are loving Rory. By the way, the four iron on four was sick.
Yes.
Just well, dirty.
Yeah, I was probably playing Wake Up Little Susie at that point in my gig, but so I didn't see it. But I'll tell you what.
Is that one of your bangers?
Yeah, the 17th hole when Reed dunked it in two got a smattering of applause.
That was they super hate him. Weird, wasn't it?
They hate him.
And some say, well, they didn't know it went in. No, no, Reed didn't know it went in.
Right. The fans
he was back in the fairway.
That's why he was so confused. He thought it would have been a bigger applause if he made it.
I think
so
you're
that's
right.
Why he thought it.
Who hoops it for an eagle and doesn't get one of the biggest roars ever?
Yeah.
Only a
on
guy
17.
Who is right. Only a guy who is super hateable.
Yeah, they hate
and, him. And is on the live tour. How about, here's another did you see as we do a little bit of nerdery before we mop it up tonight. How about we almost saw another Sarazen double eagle on 15?
That's right.
As Hovland lipped it out.
Power lipped it.
Oh, my God. That was incredible. How did you like, what else was there that was notable from the day's events and or the broadcast? I know this. A lot of people do not like CBS's commitment to non-shot tracer angles on Rory and some other players.
Yeah, there were a lot of times where you have no idea where the ball went, and they're not even describing it. They're waiting for it to land before you know what happened, which was very odd.
Yeah.
Well, I thought 18, I think Rory, they had the camera like to his side for a second, and I'm like, whoa, wait a second. We're not doing shot tracer on this 18th.
And then they switched away at the last second.
Switched quickly, yeah.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah, I was like,
and you see that ball heading right, you're like, that's way too far right, isn't it?
Yeah.
How'd you like there's a low out. There's a low angle camera on number five from the back bunker, and you could see just how sharp the edging is on the bunkers at Augusta. And I tweeted, man, the edging at the Masters on the bunkers is some psycho shit.
Yeah.
And I say this because I've got a stupid little fake bunker on my property that has been murder to get the edges to look good. Ronis, you know, as a guy who's at a golf course, the man hours and just how tricky it is to get the grass to grow in a nice straight edge around the top of a bunker.
Yeah, and it's one of my pet peeves.
I
kind of demand it. No, I need them edged. So I always, that's one of my things I talk to my superintendents about, and they're like, that's a tough one, you know, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, well, we're going to have to do it.
They are so sharp that you could cut your hand on them.
Yeah, those ones are ridiculous. I got to believe they're using scissors.
Oh, they're using scissors, all kinds of stuff.
Yeah.
I mean, basically there's a 4-inch edge of red Georgia clay you can see that has nothing on it. So not only are they probably scissored, but they're probably sprayed with
the tweezers, kill
weed kill to make sure nothing comes out of them. And the bunkers are so white, so unbelievably white.
Yeah.
Okay. How'd you like Rory hugging Shane Lowry longer and more forcefully than his own wife? A lot of people commented on that.
Well, the thing that I got, I told Laura that Shane Lowry's coming. I know Shane Lowry's coming as his best friend, and I know he's there.
Right.
But it was interesting because he said hello to Poppy and, you know, gave his wife and Poppy a hug.
Sure.
And then left them in the dust. And he walked up alone crying.
I think he brought him under the rope.
He brought him under the ropes.
But then he ditched him. But
no, well, I don't think he ditched him. I think they stopped.
Poppy might have some, you know, sensory sensitivity issues.
Yep.
Because she's like four, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. She looked a little bit, I don't know, a little bit either hangry, tired, you know, kids can get hangry at that age, or a little bit overwhelmed by everything. So she was not like running across the green to go jump into daddy's arms, which is
same
fine.
Thing at the par three contest. She looked the same way.
Yeah. When she just hit.
When they went nuts, when she made it, she was not feeling it right there. Yeah. I did.
I mean, you gotta remember this is a family still kind of healing after there was actual legal divorce papers filed by Rory.
Correct. But
yep. In May of last year. Yeah.
Let's stay on the positive stuff. I watched very closely on the walk, and I said to my family, I'm just curious who's going to be there to hug him and thank him. And we knew Lowry was going to be there, and then Tommy Boy was there. But I was wondering if, Spieth was going to show up, or JT, or any of those guys.
The Americans.
And I was surprised they really weren't. None. It was okay. Really just the two. There was a lot of his team, and then a group of what it looked like, fans that were all wearing Masters logo that I don't know the connection.
I don't think other players would have stuck around just to congratulate Rory because he's too good. He's won too much. This is not like a Cinderella story. By the way, your dog is with you right now, Rotus.
I thought I turned the mic off before I said that.
Right.
Okay. Yeah.
So who do we got with us? Just bring the dog.
We got Ellie. We got Eleanor Rigby right here.
Oh, love it.
Ellie, she apparently wants to go out, but
All right. How about this? How'd you like the fact that if Reed hadn't three putted from 4 feet on 13, he also ran it by for nearly a double eagle on 13, and then three whacks for a par, then he might have been in. He would have been in the playoff technically.
There are so many shoulda, coulda, wouldas. Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And again, no one wanted Reed to even be on the course. I mean, they hate that guy.
Michael Kim said, if Rory lays up on both par fives, it's over. Guess what? Wrong answer. And I like Michael Kim. He's been great to read on his Twitter feed, but he was dead wrong on that. And after
it was the right decision on 13, he just botched it so bad.
Yeah, right. Everything's a great decision until it goes south on you. On 15, that 7-iron bending around,
glorious.
Where do you put that one in the pantheon of great shots?
Oh, that's one of the greatest shots I've ever seen.
It just would have been so much better if he made the putt.
Yeah,
right. If he makes the putt, he's got a 2-stroke lead. Probably nothing else happens the rest of the way. Because he could have, to make birdie, he could have hit it into the right bunker and got up and down for birdie. So we lost a little bit of the high ranking, I think. It was a fabulous shot, but because he didn't make the putt, I think we lose a little bit on the high ranking there.
How'd you like the story of Colt Knowles saying that Bryson was walking the neighborhood late last night and found a house with a putting green in the back and walked up and said, "Hey guys, what are you doing?" And there's pictures to prove it. How'd you like that?
That guy's wild, man. He's just a wild, strange dude.
He said he was going to stay up late so he could sleep till like 10, and I guess that's the way he did it. But I think I did read further that he actually first met him like, I don't know, Wednesday or Thursday night, and then he was walking again to settle his nerves, and they were still up. So it was the second time with him, and he went over to hit.
How'd you like Corey Connors missing the hole from a foot
on
number one? The hole. He missed all of it from
one foot. Tough way to start.
Absolutely tough.
And he's a great guy to root for too, but man, that was a tough way to start.
Yeah, you tell me there's no nerves involved in that. Yeah.
How would you like Bryson versus Rory 3 at the Ryder Cup in Signals?
That would be great for me. I mean, obviously Bryson has proven himself to be an American Ryder Cupper. I mean, it's blatantly obvious. So yeah, I mean, I don't know though. I don't really think there's animosity between the two. I mean, Rory's very difficult to dislike.
I don't think they understand each other. I don't think they.
No, you said it well the other day. They're 4 years apart, but they're really a different generation, Abe.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Apparently, DeChambeau's a little bit hurt that Rory wouldn't talk to him today. There was a quote from him. How do you think he's feeling? Going to the playoff after missing, he goes, "I don't know. Didn't talk to me all day." And then he said, "Well, did you try to talk to him?" He goes, "He didn't want to talk to me." So I don't know if he really tried, but he was hurt.
I'm fine with that.
To each their own. Not everybody's a chatty cat.
I'm sure Bryson wanted to talk to him to get in his head.
Yes.
I'm positive that that's what it was. And Rory didn't want to have anything to do with that. He wanted to focus on himself.
Do you know the best story from Augusta ever? And I can't remember who it was. Who had the hole in one, but they were like playing around with Ben Hogan. Hogan famously didn't talk to anybody about anything, the wee Iceman. And they come to 12. Hogan's playing partner aces it. Extremely rare. Hogan makes two. Hogan hadn't said anything all day. As they're walking to 13 tee, Hogan turns to his partner and says, Gee, you know, that's the first time I've birdied that hole in about 5 years. Oblivious to the guy who just made a one.
Right. It's great.
So, that's yeah. Is there collateral damage on Bryson after this? He said, look, my game was struggling. I had a trouble reading the greens. They weren't running the way I thought. And I'm like, that's all that night putting you did. Those greens in someone's backyard ain't going to run like ANGC's putting surfaces. But is there collateral damage to Bryson? Yes or no?
No.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't think he's wired that way, that that's ever going to bother him. Of course, we won't know. We only see him 3 times a year. But I don't think it's going to bug him at all.
Will he win this event someday, Bryson?
Yes. Yes.
Okay. That's a quick yes from you, Gould.
His short game, I have provided plenty of hate for DeChambeau and his theatrics. His short game was so good. He shouldn't have been on the leaderboard. As bad as he was hitting those hard pulls, he shouldn't have been on the leaderboard. His short game was very impressive.
He said he hit the ball quite poorly.
Yeah. Okay. Here's something else. Zach Johnson, unbelievable tournament, all things considered, for a guy who is really a fringe player now at 48 years old, I want to say.
And a jerk.
Zach Johnson finishes top 10. He's going to get a boatload of Ryder Cup points. It is not inconceivable that he could play his way on the team if he plays this form the rest of the summer. Could you imagine him as the losing captain the last time, with now Keegan Bradley as the captain that stood up to volunteer when nobody else wanted the job?
And he's who there. Didn't pick for the team.
Exactly.
What's going to be better drama is if he's eighth on the list.
I hope he is.
I hope he's eighth on the list and Keegan doesn't pick him.
Zach, you know, it's been very difficult to make this decision. But unfortunately, you suck. And you're not going to be on the team.
I know these guys better, which is what Zach basically did last year with Spieth.
Yeah.
You know, I know these guys better. So I don't know you as well. So you're out. Well.
Oberg was at 10 today, and he finishes horribly, throwing away 4 shots on the final 2 holes with the bogey on 17 and then a triple on 18.
And that triple couldn't have helped, Rory either, because he was waiting on a tee because the group behind Oberg was waiting in the fairway, and that took forever.
Okay. Oh, yeah, it did take a long time.
Xander Schauffele with a backdoor top 15, finishing 5 under. Not bad. Jason Day and Corey Connors, my 2 80-to-1 long shots, also finished 5 under. They tickled. They were never really going to win this thing. That's the problem with betting on golf. You bet on these long shots, and they play really well, but there's a huge gap between just playing well and actually winning the thing. And unlike, say, picking a team to win the Super Bowl or the Final Four, you can't hedge out of it like you do as a wager in other sports. Because there's too
you
many.
But you can pick like top 5 and top 10 if you want.
You can pick them top 10 if you want.
And kudos to Homa, I guess to Harris English too, but to Homa for getting top 12, which gets him the exemption for next year.
Homa got top 12?
Yeah.
Homa finished 4 under. He got it to 6 under, but doubled 17.
Good
for
him.
So he still shot 1 under for the day. And somebody pointed out Homa finding his game at Augusta National is some of the wildest shit ever.
Yeah.
Yeah. Good.
That's John Rahm rallied. He finished 3 under in the top 20, I want to say. I'm scrolling pretty far down. Top 15.
Homa and English were 12th.
Okay. So. What are you looking at? Not the Masters artistically.
Yeah, I'm looking at the artistic one, but I just know that they were 12th. So
because you just know these things, because that's what you do. Look at this guy, Ronis.
It's the leaderboard. It's the leaderboard.
I can't do basic math.
Rahm and Spieth finished 3 under each. So that's not terrible for them. McCarty, the Cinderella story, he finished a ways back today. He did shoot 1 under today. Morikawa faded after flirting at one point, being 5 under early.
Other than, what's interesting too is Hatton, you skipped over him. I'm sure he really needed to get top 12 to guarantee a spot next year, because you never know what's going to happen.
Right.
With the LIV, and he came in 13th, missed by 1.
Ooh, what a shame.
Yeah, that's a tough break.
What a shame.
I'm sure he's not going to be hot about that at all.
Big fan favorite.
All right, quick thought on the broadcast. CBS has done this tournament now for, I think they've said, 70 years. It's the longest running relationship in professional sports and television in America. Also, I thought a nice shout out to Dave Loggins, the artist who wrote the song Augusta, which is the theme song for the Masters. That song actually has lyrics to it. If you don't believe me, you can look it up. They never play the lyric version on television. Loggins passed away this past summer, but it was a nice tribute to Nance for doing that. He said Frank Trakanian, once dubbed the Ayatollah, who ran the broadcast for CBS, commissioned Loggins to make that theme song, which has been their go-to for so long. They're still great. I still like Nance. I think Nance is in a perilous spot now in his career where he's coming down the final few holes of his career, and I think it's easy to get a little bit complacent. I think it's easy to lose your edge because you're not in it as much as you once were. I think he's not being helped out by his color analysts. I mentioned this yesterday on the Capital Golf Gang. They need more brass in the booth. Ian Baker Finch, Trevor Immelman, Frank Nabilo are the nicest guys ever, but it comes off too nice. It comes off too soft. There's not enough gravitas in the broadcast, not enough weight. Venturi carried weight with his commentary. Same thing for Faldo. Same thing for, Vern. Some oomph, some punch. I think Dottie's great. Dottie was great the whole time. CBS also needs to get with and pressure the Masters if they're the ones holding it up. They got to get with ShotLink. I need to know exactly how far was that drive, exactly how many yards, and not 2 seconds before the ball is hit, which was typically when the information finally made it onto our screen. We want to see overhead graphics of the hole with the dots and the numbers next to each player, like every other major.
You know, I want to know if it's 6 feet or 8 feet, you know.
The difference, as we all know as golfers, between something that's 4'3" and 7'5" is massively. Because, Ronis, the make table for even pros, it drops off pretty steeply the closer you get to 10 feet.
In regular regular tour coverage, we see the make percentage on all those putts. We see make that an 8-footer, the make percentage is 29%.
Yeah. Now, I know for a fact they do use ShotLink at the Masters because they want data.
It's on the website.
It's on the website.
On the app.
Broadcast does not use it. That's a mistake. Camera angles. Kudos to CBS for starting to incorporate some new ones. More drone shots. Some more unique angles that we have not seen over the years. That's great. Remember, they're working with the restriction of they cannot use the cranes that are used at almost every other golf tournament, including the British Open, to show shots. So that's a restriction. The Masters does not want that visual clutter on the property. Okay, fine. That said, they've got to really commit to using more shot tracer, and they've got to also commit to saying, we're going to stop doing everything the way we used to do it and give you something new. And they're going to have to push on the Masters to allow them to do that. Because it's an antiquated broadcast in a lot of ways. And then there's the Butler Cabin. God bless the Butler Cabin. But it is like a musty old museum that you go to on a field trip, trundling off, Ronis, a yellow school bus. And you go in and you got the roped off room and you look in, where it's like, oh, this is Betsy Ross's childhood home. Oh, look at the vintage cradle over there. Look at the it is a buzzkill. And they go to it during live play for interviews with players who have just finished. Boo. Don't take us at home off the golf course ever. And my last thought is they do two ceremonies. They do an indoor one for the Butler Cabin for television. They do an outdoor one for the patrons who have stayed behind. Kill the Butler Cabin one. Do it all. Do one ceremony outside like they did. It was televised on Golf Channel Live, but it was a little bit further after everything was done. I think they should do it like the British, where they have one ceremony outside, you know, hand off the trophy, the winner says a few words, and we're done. And those are my thoughts about the broadcast.
Butler Cabin one too. The questions awkward. Are so trite. You know, it's just
the tone of it is horrendous.
It's reverential.
Like, we've got adrenaline coursing through our veins as golf fans, and it's like, oh, welcome everybody. and it's real quiet. Nobody's in there. And they do that shot of the winner as he stares into the camera at the end, and that's what closes the broadcast.
That one's awesome.
That's tradition. I get it. But you know what else is tradition? Wood paneling in your basement and fruitcake. Not all traditions deserve to live forever. So that's just my only thought. And with that, I've nuked any chances of ever getting a credential at the Masters or, God forbid, winning the Monday media lottery.
You know what? I can eat the same sandwich every single day for 6 months. So for me, maybe it's just a dim-wittedness that I am. I love every bit of it because it's comfortable for me.
Nothing you'd improve about the Masters.
They have improved
so much new stuff and technology and social media. Oh, yeah. By the way, one thing I think we can agree on is the fact that no phones. Rory made mention of it.
He did. Yeah.
Other players made mention of it. And there's people saying there should be more sporting events that have no phone policies. And I'm like,
I agree. You look at a lot of other tournaments, that's gonna be a tough sell.
Other sporting events. The Masters is unique. Would you advocate other majors going to it, Ronis?
No. I personally, I think there should be more life without cell phones because they're just a curse to civilization. But the fact is that you live that way.
We found out.
I think it's just one of those things that is part of life and people are attached to it. So no, I mean, just keep it as it is. Masters, keep it as it is. But the other ones, just keep it as it is.
I do hate, though, the every golf shot other than Augusta, every, you know, photo of any great shot or anything like that, the fans are not watching. They're watching through their phone, right? They're not actually got their eyes on it. They've all got phones up. And I always try to say, it's kind of like when people film fireworks with their phone. I'm like, when are you going to back to rewatch this? Yeah. I mean, why do you need to have that on your phone? It's probably a... I was there kind of, I can prove I was there kind of thing, but it just, it's
why do you need to prove it? It's your emotions,
right?
That should be soaking it in.
Just be present.
Well, the reason they need to prove it is that's the world we're living in.
I guess.
Unfortunately, and what would happen is if they were to ever relent, and I don't think they ever will, and I hope they don't, the phones wouldn't just be held up as Rory is making the putt with a lot of horrible pinch to zoom rendering the resolution really bad on those phones. And a lot of vertical video. Oh, that would trigger me so much. What people would do is they would do this. They would turn around.
Oh, yeah.
And they would face the camera with the action in the background. Because remember, today's society, you, Golf Bro 26914 on Twitter and TikTok has to be the star. So you've got to be first. And the action for those who are the real athletes, those who are out there bleeding and dying and daring to do awesome things. Oh, yeah. Well, they're in the shot, too. But it's about me. As somebody screams, mashed potatoes.
Yeah. I mean, as you guys know, I'm not real good with the phone. And I hate the phone. So if they were thrown away tomorrow... The phone, yeah. And I dial the phone. I think if it was thrown away tomorrow, I couldn't be happier. But yes, I guess they want to be part of, they think they're part of the action by taking a selfie. It's fascinating to me.
All right.
Just enjoy what's going on in front of you.
A crisp 1 hour as I look at the clock. Thank you for letting us ramble today. And for those of you who are like, boo, I want other sports on the Zabecast, just put this crap over on your golf show. Well, tough toogies. This is what most people would want. It is sports. It's what most people are going to talk about Monday. We gave you an hour, and it was a great hour at that. And tomorrow, we can break down the NBA play-in games for you, okay?
And the NFL draft. Don't forget that.
And the NFL draft coming up in 2 weeks. We'll do that. Exit question to close the show. Of the modern TV masters in the high-definition age, which I'm going to say is about 2004 when high def became widely available. This is to me the number two greatest Masters, only behind Tiger winning 2019. It in 2019. Any arguments there?
Well, the Tiger effect makes it much higher, but in terms of everything that happened, the backs and forths,
Oh,
this was probably greater.
Yeah, well, I mean, in that Tiger one, a lot of backs and forths happen. I would say
the whole
because
field
it's
collapsed.
Tiger, yeah,
the whole field collapsed in the weight of Tiger's, you know, gravity.
He didn't win it. He didn't win it. They lost it.
Well,
but I think
maybe he intimidated them, you know? Could it's like have. Jack on your back syndrome.
I think you're right, John. Because Tiger was involved, Tiger's first. But yeah, this was just as exciting
close
and as exhilarating.
Two.
Very close.
With a well-loved redemption story in Rory.
Yeah.
On top of it. Maybe it's easily a top 10 Masters of all time. If you go even further back.
Maybe
and
top
possibly
five,
top five. Possibly top five.
Yes. But yes.
We'll let you golf fans sort that out amongst yourselves, okay? And tomorrow we'll carry on as normal. We're still going to do a show on Wednesday live at Golfdom. Fair enough?
Fair enough.
Because there'll be stuff that shakes out between now and Wednesday, and we want to hear CJ's angle on the Masters. Our friend CJ, his wife, surprised him by ordering the online Augusta spread.
The taste of the Masters.
Sandwiches, and
get
cups like this delivered to your man cave. He said his wife got it for him unprompted. And I said,
good
now there's a keeper. You found yourself
great.
A keeper right there.
Good for him and great for her. That's fantastic.
All right. What hurts me is that we have to put away the 12th hole and the 13th hole for a whole nother year. We don't get to see it. We don't get to see the world's greatest players do their thing on it.
That's
but
okay.
I am happy that I got to see something really cool and really special. And I'm happy that golf is a game we love and we play because it's a great proxy for struggling in life and overcoming in life and just finding a way and not quitting despite the despair and the embarrassment and the shame and the I'm so stupid, this is never going to happen. Beautiful scene. Congrats to Rory. Congrats to Rose, who was a classy runner-up. And once again, the Masters endures.
It delivers every time.
Maybe the purest of all our sports events. And may it ever be so. That'll do it for us.
Amen.
Amen to that. Amen corner to that. All right. Amen. That'll do it for us. Thank you for listening. Rate and review on the Zabecast. It helps our algorithmic overlords. And as always, tell a friend or two if you liked what you heard. Into the future.
If you work in quality control at a candy factory, you know strict safety regulations come with the job. It's why you partner with Grainger. Grainger helps you find the high quality and compliant products your business needs to inspect, detect, and help correct issues. And the sweetest part is, everyone gets a product that's as safe to eat as it is delicious. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Why is life better with American Family Insurance? Because every policy comes with something very special. A trusted agent who's there to help protect your dreams by finding the right coverage at the right price. Save up to 23% when you bundle home and auto. American Family Insurance. Get a quote and find an agent at AmFam.com.
Products not available in every state. Visit AmFam.com to learn how discounts may apply to you. American Family Mutual Insurance Company, S.I. and its operating company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.
Watching any sport is a hell of a lot more exciting when you got a little something-something riding on the game. But what happens when the season is over? At my bookie, there is no off-season. NFL, NBA, Major League Baseball, NHL, boxing, heck, table tennis, MMA, and more. If they got it, you can bet it. If the games are being played, the line is on the board at MyBookie. Just remember, where you bet, though, is every bit as important, if not more so than what you're betting on. That's why I tell all my friends to go to MyBookie.ag. Oh, but my state just approved it. There's a big whatever, or these guys are in the market. Nah, Johnny-come-latelys. You want to trust them? Trust the bookie I've been working with for years, MyBookie. MyBookie has been ahead of the game for years now. And why does it matter? Oh, I don't know. Maybe a million reasons. Better lines, better payouts, less rules. You name it. Plus, you get a bonus with me at MyBookie.ag. Use promo code Charlie, Zulu, Alpha, Bravo, Echo. That's promo code ZABE. And get your deposit matched halfway up to $1,000.
That's a free cash bonus for making your deposit. Use promo code ZABE to claim the offer. You bet, you win, and most importantly, you get paid with mybookie.ag.